The question was asked, how do we view legal holidays or holidays that a country celebrates that are not necessarily religious in nature or are necessarily not religious in nature? They're national holiday, Columbus Day. Okay? There are holidays which countries will celebrate. They'll give you a day off. The banks are closed. They might even have a ritual that everyone wears green or everyone eats turkey or who knows what. And it has nothing to do with the religion. But it is a national holiday. How do we view that? So first of all, if you have off, it's a good opportunity to set up a learning day and some family time. It's a great opportunity. But there's a general approach that we have to be aware of. It might be difficult for some people, and that's why I was debating how to answer you. And I want to first explain the difficulty and then address the question. Okay? It says in Parshas Yisro, Vayichad Yitro al kol ha-tova asher asa Elokim leYisrael. What does Vayichad mean? So Vayichad in Aramaic means he was happy. In Aramaic, the translation of Simcha is Chadi, happiness. In Hebrew, the word Vayichad means became sharp. Chad means sharp. Ordinarily, Torah talks Hebrew. Here the Torah is talking Aramaic. Yisro became happy. It doesn't say the Hebrew word, Aramaic. Yisro became happy over all the good God did for Israel. Seems like it's Aramaic, because the continuation is Yisro blesses Hashem and brings sacrifices in honor of Hashem. Certainly sounds like Yisro was happy, right? It would sound like the word Vayichad is happiness. Because it says right afterwards, he blesses Hashem, Vayomer Yitro, Baruch Hashem, Asher Yitzilitchem, right? He was the first one who said Baruch Hashem. Blessed is Hashem who saved you from the hands of Pharaoh, from the hands of Egypt, and he brings sacrifices. Sounds like it's happiness. Along come our sages and say, it's not only happiness. It also means he turned sharp. He felt like he was having goosebumps. He was hearing about how all the Egyptians were suffering in the water of the Yamsuf. And even though he himself was a fugitive from the Egyptians, and even though he himself had suffered at their hands, at the end of the day, he grew up in Egypt, he worked in Egypt, he knew the Egyptians. He looked back at the Egyptians who were pagans, and he was a monotheist, and he felt bad. So he's thanking Hashem for all the good that Hashem did for Israel, and at the same time, he can't help but feel bad over what happened to the Egyptians. He does. He feels bad. And from here, our sages said, be very careful when you talk in front of a convert about the nation he comes from, because there are going to be nationalistic feelings. And even a pious person like Yisro is going to feel a connection to Egypt, and that's just the way it is. I can tell you that I feel very bad about 9/11. I can tell you that I would walk every day and see the Twin Towers, and before I'd walk into Yeshiva, I'd look up to the Twin Towers and say, wow, where does human unity achieve? Look at how far. No one person could have built that. That's only Achdus. And I always thought, my father was once discussing with me a whole plan he had of business meetings and flights around the world, and I said, that only works so long as there's peace in the world. You should know that the idea that you can plan a business trip, that's only because there's peace. And lo and behold, 9/11 happened, and suddenly every flight is a disaster. You have to go through security like crazy. You have to plan every trip, hours in security. You don't know if you'll make the connecting flight. All of life changed on us. and I'm not a convert. I didn't merit to have that, Swiss. And I still feel a certain awe of the United States and a certain affinity. As I'll say, a convert has it much stronger. So there's a basic feeling that's going to be there. We used to have students going and watching soccer games. I don't know if we still do, but students would sometimes go and watch soccer games. We had a student who was a convert, I don't remember, from Italy or Greece, and when you'd have the Israeli team playing his team, so he wasn't rooting for the Israeli team, and he wasn't too comfortable being with the other guys in the room because they were all rooting for the Israeli team, and he wanted to root for his country's team. And if he ever dared say something, they'd look at him like, didn't you convert? And he'd go, but those are still my soccer players, right? They grew up on those soccer players. That's natural. And yet, we have to know it's not a strength. And it's not something we try to cultivate. And so, it's a natural feeling a person has, but a person has to realize it's something to overcome. You guys heard of Rav Pinchas Scheinberg? Rav Pinchas Scheinberg was considered a big tzaddik. He set up a yeshiva Torah Or for Chozrim Betshuva. He was considered one of the big tzaddikim that lived in this generation, passed away a few years ago, 2-3 years ago. He's considered a very big tzaddik. So I heard a phenomenal story. I don't know if it's true, but it's supposedly a very well-known story. In the United States, they have, I think it's called the Super Bowl, or the World Series, I'm sorry, where you have the major baseball game, right? It's called the World Series. So, one year, anyone who follows sports follows the World Series. One year, Rav Pinchas Scheinberg made this big suda, like a big siyum, and he invited the yeshiva, and he invited his friends, and he invited his family, and they asked him, what are you making the big suda for? So he said, it's already Rosh Hashiva. He said, the World Series just happened. And it's the first time in my life that I don't care who's playing. That's what Rav Pinchas Scheinberg said. It was so much in his blood. He was so honest. So he made a suda. He said, I overcame that. I don't care. You know, I don't have this problem. I never care, right? I grew up thinking baseball is a stupid sport. That's what happens when you're an Israeli who migrates to the United States. You look at it like, what are these guys doing? They're spending most of the day being bored. Like, I couldn't understand why it's an exciting game. So if not for all the media about the Cubs this year, I wouldn't have known what was going on in the World Series. I really don't care. But Rav Pinchas Scheinberg, you're talking about someone who learned for years. He was the head of the yeshiva, and it took him years till he couldn't care less what was going on in the World Series. He's taking advantage of his time, but it was still part of him. So the idea of being connected to the culture we come from is a part of every person. But we have to realize it's not a strength, and it's not something we try to cultivate. What? So, now coming back to the question. You can't say there's something wrong with eating turkey on... people do say it, but in the Aguda convention, which was always on Thanksgiving, I was told everyone ate turkey because it was cheap. So they served turkey on Tea Day, right? On Thanksgiving Day, they had the Aguda convention, and they'd serve turkey. Shh. Today, everyone's frumi. Everyone says, no, you're not allowed to. It's chukos agoyim and whatever. But all the big rabbis, Rav Lazer Silver, Rav Moshe Feinstein, everyone felt perfectly comfortable eating turkey. Rav Kotler from Lakewood. Everyone was at Aguda convention. And I was told by faithful Jews that every year it was on Thanksgiving because it was the cheapest day to rent the hall. No one's renting halls on Thanksgiving. And they served turkey and everyone ate it. So obviously they didn't think it was such a big sin to eat turkey on Thanksgiving, right? I don't think they called it a Thanksgiving dinner, but whatever. So they ate. The question here is, do you invite your friends and your neighbors and everyone, and you say, El Shemichu, let's sit down for Thanksgiving dinner? Right. So again, can you say it's a transgression? I don't think it's a transgression, but is it the direction we should be headed in our lives? We have to choose where our focus is. Just like a guy asks me, is it wrong that my kid is watching the World Series? No, if he wants to watch the World Series, let him have a good time. I don't know if there are cheerleaders in the World Series. I don't know. It's only in football there are cheerleaders. Okay. I don't know. I'm saying, so watching a baseball game, fine. No one can say it's the worst thing in the world. There are far worse things on that big black box. That's not the worst thing you can do with it. But again, is that where we're aspiring to? Am I going to invite my kid and say, take the day off, you got to watch this game with me. We'll get good popcorn and a beer. We're going to watch a baseball game. It's not where we should be aspiring to. At the end of the day, you don't know how much you'll succeed in giving your kid Torah. You don't know how much your kid will connect to Torah. You want him to connect with that lifestyle. You want to connect yourself with that lifestyle. Part of what we're trying to do in a home is create an atmosphere. And the atmosphere revolves around what we get excited over. When a kid sees you're excited, Hanukkah's coming, you're excited, Sukkot is coming, you're excited, Rosh Hashanah's coming, you're teaching him something about the Yom Tov. when you're excited, a guest is coming, they get excited. We used to go to the Kotel, we still try to, every holiday. So when our two-year-old would be riding on the Bimba, their little toy car, and you'd ask them, where are you going? They'd always say, to the Kotel. So that was the atmosphere. That's the atmosphere you try to have in the house. That when you ask a kid, where are you going? To the Kotel. That's the family outing. We go to the Kotel. So that's a kid's perspective. You know, my son came to school this year without his tzitzis. So the Rebbe tells him, listen here, young man. You could forget your pants at home, and I won't be upset at you. But how do you forget your tzitzis at home? So the kid comes home and asks my wife, what's for lunch? My wife says, sandwiches. And the kid says, yes. So my wife says, you don't know what's in the sandwiches. What are you getting all excited about? So the kid goes, I'm going to say benching. And that's what I'm excited about. So this same Rebbe who tells him, tzitzis is more important than your pants, also taught him, you get excited over a sandwich because you could say benching, you could thank Hashem. So he's teaching him an atmosphere. It's not halacha, it's an atmosphere. And that's a tremendous element of chinuch that we want to give our kids. That's why people sometimes make mistakes, especially chozrim b'tshuva or gerim. They say, it's not a big deal if my Shabbos tablecloth has Chinese dragons, or if I eat with chopsticks in honor of Shabbos, or in honor of Purim, I'm going to make a sushi dinner. The atmosphere, there was a person who after the Holocaust didn't keep anything. After the Holocaust, he was so embittered, he said, I'm not keeping anything. And he left everything, and it was Shabbos, and all his friends went to see a soccer game, and he went with them. And on the way to the soccer game, they're standing at the train station. The guy was shot in the leg. He could barely stand, but it didn't matter. He's going to go see a soccer game. And he's standing there at the train station, and a lady next to the train station was making chicken soup. And he's standing there at the train station, and the whiff of chicken soup keeps hitting him in the nose. And he's standing there, and he wants to forget where he came from, and he's not going to think about the fact that it's Shabbos, and he doesn't care. He's going to the soccer game, and when the train came, everyone went on, and he stayed at the station. And that's when he started being Chozer V'Tshuva. He said, I can't do it. Can't do it. My mother's chicken soup is here. It wasn't the Jewish woman. It was a regular chicken soup, but he knew it was Shabbos deep down inside. And as much as he tried to run away from who he was, the chicken soup he grew up on, that was Shabbos, now when he's standing at the train station, he couldn't. And at the end of the day, he came back. I was at his grandson's Siyum HaShas. His grandson finished Shas the fourth time. So he flew in for the Siyum and told the story I was there. So he made a good move, right? But that's the atmosphere of the home. The atmosphere is what you put in the kids in his blood. It's not about do this and do that. It's an atmosphere. So yeah, that's why you have to think about it not as a question of is it permissible or not.
What are you teaching?
Where do you want the kid to go? Is this part of what you want should be his excitement? Or do you say, great, we have a day off. Let's take time together. Let's learn a little bit in Beis Medrash. Let's go for a hike. Let's utilize the time as family time to make a Thanksgiving dinner. I'm not sure that's what's important to us to pass on. Again, not because it's prohibited, because of the atmosphere we want in our home.